Now let us turn in the Word of God, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 15. And as the Word of God is before us, let us seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, Thou dost come to us in the pages of Thy Word speaking. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak to our hearts. Thou dost come to us knowing everything about us. O Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts like Thou didst do with Lydia's, that those who are sitting here right now, unconcerned about their souls, we pray that they might be awakened to sense their need and become hungry and become thirsty, not wanting to have another week to pass without knowing the Lord. Help then, O God, in the preaching of Thy Word, but also in the hearing of it. May we not hear it critically, but hear it with receptive hearts. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We just sang together that wonderful hymn of Newton, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears." And John Newton knew that by experience. As you, many of you must know, that how Newton was a slave trader and a sailor who came later to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he penned those words and many other hymns that he wrote of. But in his life, he was plagued with a terrible, treacherous memory. He had good memory, but that caused him many troubles. If you read his letters, he would speak of his past. And his journal is filled with those words such as, "I remember I forgot such and such a thing." You might be ones who forget things easily, so you are in good company. I am certainly in good company with John Newton. But he spoke oftentimes, "I soon forgot. I forgot. These two I totally forgot," in one place he wrote. The words occur again and again in his writings. And so it came to pass that after he came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved from his sins, John Newton entered the Christian ministry. And he printed, when he entered the ministry, he printed a certain text and put it on the mantelpiece. And it was this, from verse 15 of Deuteronomy 15. "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." This was John Newton's text, and in the sight of it, he prepared his sermons. Here was a man who said, "I forgot. I forgot again. I soon forgot." Before him is this, "Thou shalt remember." You must remember. You must remember. What are we to remember? "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." Friends, we have entered a new year. This is the first Lord's Day, or as the world would put it, Sunday, of 2019. You wonder about the things that await you. What things you are expecting to do, to experience this year. Things that you are looking forward to. Things that you may not be looking forward to. The way to start the year well is to remember certain things. To have an eye to the behind you. Look back. And have certain things clear and fixed in your minds that relates to your soul. Remember certain things that relates not only to your soul, but to God. To His saving gospel. And these words of our text in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 15 were spoken by Moses to Israel inviting the nation to look back, backwards, over its shoulder, as it were, and to review the past. Here they were, as it, the scripture says, they were in the plain of Moab, standing on the edge of the promised land. They had many things ahead of them. They wondered what will happen to them. And Moses says to them, remember. Now, as they reviewed the past, what should Israel remember? What would they remember? As you remember your past, and we want to apply this to our own lives, as you remember your past, what should you remember? Well, I want you to remember three things. Remember the past blessings of God. Then secondly, remember the past evils that you've experienced. But also remember, thirdly, the work of God's grace. These are the things that you must remember. First of all, remember the past blessings. Friends, what nation enjoyed such blessings? What nation enjoyed such benefits as Israel? And no wonder Moses can say at the end of this very book, in chapter 33, verse 29, he says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. You see, here were a people who enjoyed the blessings of God. Have you not enjoyed God's blessings in the last year? Whatever has come to you that has caused you much heartache, you can yet look back and see and say, God has been good to me. God has blessed me. You see, you have had divine preservation, as they did. God kept them. God has kept you. That's why you are here. Time and again, the enemy came out against Israel, but the Lord delivered them and preserved them. And Moses is reviewing the past, and he reminds the Israel of God of God's preservation. How encouraging the Lord's work and the Lord's word were to Moses, the leader of the nation, about those who sought Israel's destruction. God kept you. Remember that. God said to Moses about Og, the king of Bashan, in chapter 2. He says this, fear him not. God said to him, fear him not. This is what they were to remember, their past. God said to us, fear not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. There is divine preservation. And you can look back in your life. The last 12 months, God preserved me. John Newton writes, and he knew something even of in his unsaved days, when he wasn't a Christian, of the preserving hand of God in his life. As a boy of 12 years of age, he was thrown from a horse and almost he was killed. Some years after that, that he had made an appointment with his friends to go on a boat and go somewhere to row out to see something. But something unexpected happened, and so his friends left without him. But then as they were rowing in the sea, something unsettled the boat, and all of the friends drowned in the sea. And John Newton remembered those things. He experienced their divine preservation. The psalmist says, O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. God preserves each one of us. The apostle says, in him, that is in God, we live and move and have our being. So as you review your life this past year, have you not been kept by God, preserved by God? You have. Well, do you remember that? Do you give thanks to God for that? Do you remember that accident when God spared your life, your family's life, to give you another opportunity? If you're a child and you were in an accident, he gave you another opportunity to trust in Jesus Christ. Do you remember that time in hospital that you were, when you were concerned about your health, when you were ill, and then you prayed to God, people prayed for you, you prayed to God for help, and he raised you up again. You go down the paths of memory, and do you not recall, don't you remember the things that God has done to keep you and preserve you? His hand has been on your life. And so, will you not see the goodness of God is seeking to lead you to repentance? God has been good to you so that you might repent of your sins. Have you done that? Remember past blessings then, and God's preserving hand. But also, remember God's provision, divine provision. God fed them. God fed them. In the opening chapters of the book, Moses reminds Israel of God's provision for them, in chapter 2 especially. When they had no water, what happened? Moses struck the rock and water flowed out. And when they had no bread, God rained bread from heaven for them. Think of it. For 40 years, they had manna, angels' food they ate. And it was given to them morning by morning from the hand of a faithful God. And that's the thing that you should remember too about your own life. God has spread a table for them, spread it out for them to feast in the wilderness. They had so much food. And the Lord said, I will give you so much of it, it will come out of your nostrils. It was giving them a word picture. You will have too much, so much plenty. Something they thought was impossible, God made it possible. God revealed himself as being Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the God of exhaustless resources, able and willing to supply all their needs. No wonder Moses, as he was retracing their steps, he could say, "Thou hast lacked nothing." Now, what about you? Have you lacked anything? Did you go through one day in the last year and you had no food because of the fact you didn't have any money? One day your fridge was empty completely. One day you didn't eat because you simply had no means. Boys and girls, you think about that. Not everyone in the world can say, no, I did not lack anything. But I'm talking to you. Moses was talking to Israel. Have you lacked anything? You who are unsaved, unsaved children, friends, would you deny the fact that God has enriched you, blessed you with the daily blessings of life? The things that are essential for you, you have it. All the necessary things, you have it. And God has blessed you with it. There, in this universe, there is God who is our maker. Who made you? God made you. And he has blessed you as well. Not just made you and then left you. God has blessed you. And so it is, God made the things and God knows what we need. We need things. We read, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, the Lord said. God provides you all things richly to enjoy, we read in 1 Timothy. And the Bible says, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He fills our hearts with food and gladness. These are words of the scripture. And that's what God has done for you. Have you received many blessings from the hand of God? And then have you not thanked him? Then you are alone, boys and girls, and you have some food, a sandwich that you open up to eat, your lunch or whatever, and do you ever give thanks to God? I fear some don't. They would, before their parents they would. But when they're alone, they are not thankful. Are you not enjoying the benefits of divine provision? You've got money in your pockets, and food on your tables, a roof over your heads, clothes to wear, all kinds of things to enjoy. But what has been your response to God? But then there has been divine revelation. God spoke to them. And they should remember that. Not just God's provision and preservation, but God's revelation for them. God spoke to them. Imagine that. You can go out and say, God has spoken. God has spoken today. You see, Israel were given the oracles of God, the scripture says. In fact, Moses says in In chapter 4 and verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? The word of God would reveal to Israel how they were to live in the promised land and the promises of the coming Messiah. And you know something, friends? Like some of you, John Newton had a wonderful mother. A woman who faithfully taught her boy the scriptures. Indeed, she also taught him the catechisms and so on, as we are encouraging you to learn the catechisms. And that mother prayed for him. Prayed day after day. Lord, not only save my boy, but make him a minister of the gospel in England. And many years went by, she thought the prayers were not answered. But no, she carried on praying for him. Until she passed away. But God answered that prayer. God blessed the word that she faithfully taught her son. Words of his scripture. And John Newton remembered those things later on. When he was caught in the storms. Literal storms. Is this not your story? Can you not testify that from a child thou hast been taught, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation? You boys and girls, you've been taught the Word of God. You were taught it this morning. Do not hold in your hand that priceless treasure, the Bible. What do you do with it? Do you read it every day? Do you read it believingly? Do you pray, Lord, speak to me today? And then you wonder why you're not converted. If you don't read the Bible, if you sit and don't listen to the preaching, but you're maybe distracted by some other things, none of us have any excuses. Do you ponder over the pages of the Bible? God is speaking to you. So you remember the last year, how many sermons have you listened to? Many, many. How many of them affected you? How many of them did you pray over when you went home? Or beforehand, Lord, speak to my heart today. So as you review your life, what do you remember? What do you recall? A godly father, mother, praying for your soul in family worship and other times? Do you remember the sermons that you have heard? The preachers who pointed you to the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation? Do you recall a friend showing you how you may find peace with the Lord? These are the things that you must remember. Remember the past. Remember God's blessings. But then, secondly, remember the past evils. Remember the past evils. Moses says in verse 15, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt remember thou wast what? A bondman in the land of Egypt. They had been under an evil bondage and slavery in Egypt. This, of course, takes us back to the second book in the Bible, the book of Exodus, where we see Israel as the slaves of Pharaoh under a power that was stronger than their own. They couldn't do anything about it themselves. Think of it. But there are spiritual lessons there. The Apostle Paul said those things were written for our learning. There's a spiritual application for us. One of the things we learn about this, the evil that they must remember, the past that they were taught, the bondage that they were in, is the evil power over them. The evil power that was over them. For the power of Pharaoh mastered them, controlled them. They couldn't get away from it. They simply had to obey the master. And Pharaoh pursued policies to crush them, to weaken them, to diminish them, because they were growing fast. And Pharaoh was afraid of that. And so he deprived them of what? He deprived them of their freedom. He bound them. He deprived them of their firstborn sons. He deprived them of their future. He didn't want them to do anything for their future, to prosper in any way. So he limited them in any way he could. They were dwelling in a dark land. They were subject to ruthless tyrant, bound by chains, doing his bidding. And that's a picture, my friend. Picture, spiritual lesson here. Picture of the world. Picture of sin's power over the lost souls. And if you're lost, you're bound. You think you are free, but you're not free. The Bible speaks of this very clearly, that sin controls you. You don't control sin. Are you dominated by various sinful habits and practices? And it is devilish. You see, by nature, the Bible is very clear that that we are the very slaves of Satan himself, those who are lost here. And you may be a churchgoer, but if you're not converted, you're still slaves of Satan. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26, that we are taken captive by him. That's the devil, at his will. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, the slave of sin. Are you bound by the chains of sin this morning? And you look back in your life and say, I've been chained. I've been bound. I've been under some power, some control. Is there someone here who is held in chains of lust? The immoral pictures on your phone or on the computer? The chains of unbelief? Chains of sinful thoughts? The chains of peer pressure that gets you to be tempted to sin in certain ways? Chains of disobedience to parents? How many children have disobeyed their parents in the last year, and even verbally being abusive, if not even physically? These are the things that are telling you you are bound. Sin is controlling you. What about the chains of fear? There are people who are always constantly fearful. Chains of selfishness. Also, there are people who are bound by respectability. The chains of pride. Looking down on other people. Have there been times when you've tried to break from certain habits of sin? Has there been certain occasions when you've tried to reform your life, changing things in your life, turning, as it were, a new leaf, breaking loose from certain practices? I want to change. I want to change the way I think, the way I talk, the way I behave. And then what have you discovered? That you're still under some sort of a power that's stronger than your own. Oh, what can I do? What must I do in this situation? What you can't do, the Lord Jesus Christ can. That's what He can. He breaks, we sing, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. So will you trust Him? How long will you carry on bound up under this force, under a Pharaoh? Worse than a Pharaoh. Pharaoh died. But when someone is under sin, unless we receive Jesus Christ, that power will not be broken. But then another thing, that not only the power of the past evils must be remembered, but also the misery this evil bondage brings. Moses said, remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Remember all that it means, this bondage. What was it like to be a slave in Egypt? Well, we read it, don't we, in the scriptures. We read this, for example, in Exodus 2:23, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. In other words, the bondage to this foreign power made them miserable. It made them to sigh and cry. They're miserable. They're unhappy. It would be senseless for me to say to you that you will not have a good time in this world. You know better. You know what it's possible, that it is possible to have a good time, to have fun, to have pleasure in this world. The Bible speaks about the pleasures of sin. That's what it speaks of. But it is only for a season. And that is the problem with it. It never lasts. They are not eternal. You see, sooner or later, the world's wine will run out. Its pride and popularity, its pleasures and amusements, they soon vanish. They soon leave you. And they leave you empty. Emptiness. that nothing of this world will fill. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55 and verse 2, Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why are you working for that? That doesn't satisfy you, leaves you empty. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Let your soul delight in what blesses you, and that is Jesus Christ. Think about the prodigal son, what a proof that is about the emptiness of this world. There came a time in his life when the bubble burst. You remember that account in Luke's gospel? That parable that our Lord spoke of, the prodigal son? And you take a hard look at him. He's hungry. His clothes are old. His hair is uncombed, as it were. His eyes are hollow. He's hungry. He's wanting food. He's been starving. And that's what happens to someone who's been starving. He's fearful. What am I going to do? And so, young people, you look at and study the life of the prodigal son. This is what sin does. And so, sin strips us of all the things that we cherish, and it wrecks us. And we see that in the lives of a variety of people. It ruins you, your life will be miserable. And so you might picture a homeless man. You might picture a down-and-out man. And you think, well, that's a picture of what sin brings. Misery and hardship and so on. But what about those who have everything that the world can offer them? And yet they are lonely. Yet they are hateful. They are empty, they are unsatisfied, they are not happy. The pop singers and the rich, they also kill themselves. And they also overdose on drugs. They can also be most miserable, and often are. The clever and the educated people can be filled with pride and selfishness too. You know something, that the things of this world that will never satisfy the thirst of your soul. What oftentimes in this affluent times that we are living in, I'm speaking of myself, I can be carrying things that are so people in the past couldn't afford to own, and yet children can be walking with hundreds of pounds worth of gear and clothing and all kinds of things, but none of those things, if you trust in those things, none of those things will actually supply the thing that you need. It will not satisfy you at the end. But there is one who satisfies, and that is Christ. Christ satisfies. And isn't it what we sing? None but Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy. And here Moses says, remember the past. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman. You remember what it was like. You're miserable. The evil that you were under, the hardships that you were under, the emptiness that you felt, the hunger that you felt, the trials that you faced. You remember that you were in bondage. And then what? And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. And let me say to you this then in the third place. The Lord redeemed them. What a picture that is. So they were bound up in sin. They're bound up under the power of Pharaoh, and the Lord redeemed them. So the third place is the blessing that they experienced. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. What a blessing is the blessing of redemption. Would Israel ever forget the night of redemption so long ago? Would they ever forget that? Would they ever forget that the price of their blessing? They had to reenact it again and again every year. Now, what is redemption? What do we mean by redeem and redemption? Redemption, it means the release as a result of a payment of a price. A payment is given for something to be released. Down there in Egypt, the price of their redemption, the price of their release from their bondage and from death was the death of a lamb. The lamb had to die. The blood of a lamb had to be shed. And all of these things are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why John the Baptist could point to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And so they had to take a perfect lamb, not a blemished lamb, not a spotted lamb, but a perfect lamb. And they must kill it to shed its blood. That's what is described in Exodus 12. And that blood was to be applied on the lintel and the doorpost. On the lintel and the doorpost. And then what the Lord had promised. As it is applied, when I see the blood, I will pass over it. I won't come in to destroy, but I will pass over it. And so it was called Passover. The Passover sacrifice was made. Ah, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ was God's Lamb, and on Calvary's cross, He paid the price for our redemption to set us free. By what? By His own precious blood. And praise God that if any of you can say this morning, I have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. To be able to say with those saints who are above, Christians who are now in heaven, do you know what they are saying? You can hear them. It's recorded in Revelation 5 and verse 9. Blessed Savior, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's what they are singing and saying. My friends, if you are not a Christian, my unsaved friend, here is the only ground whereby we can find acceptance with a holy God. This is the only way. Here is the only refuge from the storm of God's wrath. God's wrath is coming. And this is the only way you can be saved from it. Here is the only way whereby you can be saved. Here is the only power that can deliver you from the slavery and to break the chains of sin and Satan. The old chorus would say, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And did you ever pause and ask yourself in the last year this question? What have I cost the Savior? What did my redemption cost the Lord Jesus Christ? What price did He have to pay to secure my redemption, my ransom? He must love me so much. The price was great. The cost was immense. For He gave His life. He gave His blood. He gave everything for us. That's the price of blessing. And then, what should we do in terms of experience of this blessing of God? Trust that had to be exercised. Trust has to be exercised. Faith must be applied. These people who were redeemed, when they were in bondage in Egypt, they had to believe. And the picture of faith, the Lord said, take some hyssop, dip it in the blood, and then apply it. So the hyssop is a picture of faith. Hyssop was used as faith. We speak of trusting in Christ. They had that hyssop. The blood of the Lamb had to be applied, but then it had to be carried. And the hyssop was dipped in it and then carried and then applied. It's telling you of what? It tells you of faith. As the hyssop was carrying that blood from the basin to the doorposts, so faith takes the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and applies it to the doors of our hearts. It takes what Jesus has done upon the cross and then takes hold upon it, carries it to us. Ah, the righteous God demanded the sacrifice. The loving God provided the sacrifice, and the faith of God appropriates. It takes hold of the sacrifice. Friends, tell me, have you taken hold of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? Relying on Him wholly? Not just saying, yes, I believe certain things about Him. And you can pass a test if you were asked questions about it. But for you to say, I do know Him. I do believe him. I do trust him, the one who died upon Calvary's cross. Have you exercised faith in that precious blood? Putting your whole trust in that finished work of the Lord Jesus. John Newton did, and he did it on the 10th of March, 1748. He says, on that day, the Lord came from on high and delivered me out of deep waters. On that day, he sought mercy and found it. And his experience is recorded in that hymn that he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet a sound, that saved a wretch like me." There are some hymn books that have changed the wording of that term, wretch, because they say, well, that doesn't make people feel good about themselves. So they've changed it to people, a person like me. But there's still those people who change it, they're wretches as well as we. But amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me. That's his testimony. What is your testimony? Do you have a testimony to say, when were you saved? When were you converted? You know, I asked two people yesterday on the street who loved the preaching of the Word of God. And I said, when were you converted? And praise God, both of them could say, the Lord found me at such and such a point. I trusted in Christ at such and such a point. Do you have a testimony to give? Thou shalt remember. It says, remember your past year. Did it not have its blessings? Didn't God preserve you? Didn't God provide for you? Didn't God speak to you from His Word, from the preaching of the Word of God? Were you not stirred up in your soul? What was your response then? Did you respond by trusting in Christ? Or did you go unchanged, unmoved? Maybe you're still in the bondage of sin. Maybe you didn't do much about it. My friend, you are going to be miserable still. Another year will pass and still will be no change. But pray to God. Lord, come down and work in me, O God. Start seeking Christ and trust that He died for a sinner like you and that He paid the debt that you deserve and you owe to God. He paid it all. Apply to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. When John Newton was an old man, he was very near end of his days. William Jay of Bath, he was a minister in Bath, he met him one day on the street. And Newton complained that his powers were failing fast. He said, my memory is nearly gone. But I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. What a thing to remember. Thou shalt remember, the Lord is saying. And that was the text of John Newton. My memory is gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. What would you say? Have you discovered the saving of your soul? Have you discovered and sought the Lord Jesus Christ? What will you remember at the end of 2019 if you are spared? What will you say? 2019 was a year that I came to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, may it be the case. We pray for that it will be the case. And may God bless you. Amen.